Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could tune in today. And let's go ahead and take care of the rest of our disclaimer by realizing or remembering that just because you hear some tax strategies on the air today and maybe some investment opportunities, do not take that as a sign that you should forge ahead and go jump in to get started with any of those things. Please consult with your existing advisors, be it tax, legal, accounting, real estate, or investment advisors, and let's make sure that one or more of those folks who understands your facts and circumstances agrees that indeed you heard correctly, and indeed, and most importantly, it might be a fit for your specific circumstances. For those of you that don't have advisors that consult in the areas of retirement plan taxation, real estate taxation, real estate private partnerships, and zero tax math, those are the four corners we work at in the tax world and accounting world. We'll be happy to consider working with you. If you could go to the beaplanner.com website, that's beaplanner.com, and top right, second from the right, you'll see a forms link. If you would do us a kind favor and go to that page, and on the first step, the first of four forms that we would love to have all of them submitted, but if you'll just do the first one, the client profile, that'll give us enough to have a phone call with you. You're welcome to go book a call at a convenient time shown at the call link, which is the far right link at the top, and we'll be glad to help you understand how we might sync up, or if we can sync up, to help you achieve your objectives. In any event, all that said, let's move on to, let's see here, do I want to talk about news first, or let me think. I think I'm looking for a document here. Well, I tell you what, we'll talk about news. We'll circle back in a bit when I can put my hands on the other topic I was wanting to interject before the news. For those of you that listen to the show, you probably know by now that I have newspaper articles on our website, the companion website at BAPlannerShow.com, and you know, we at least start off most shows by talking about the current news, and in fact, as of late, we've been using the news to drive our whole show discussion due to the fact that there's been so many good articles on topics that affect concept of real estate investing, commercial real estate investing for certain, that we've kind of put real estate syndication analysis on hold, although I may have some time today to pick up. I've got one transaction I've been looking at here this morning that should allow me to talk about one, maybe two. There's been a slowdown, obviously, for those of you that are members of some of the local real estate mentor investor platforms. You can probably confirm what I'm saying, but I know the deal volume that we've seen as coming from our clients looking for us to review has definitely slowed down. And I suspect now that the interest rates sometime here in 2024 look like they'll start heading down, we should see more transactions. Now, that all said, as I discussed on our show this past Friday, the cap rates don't seem to be cooperating just yet with the buyers and the seller, for that matter. So I don't know. I don't know if the deal volume will pick up in 2023 or not, but I know this: if you don't understand what you're looking at when you look at projections or you look at the deal doc stack, and you don't understand the difference between a three-year bridge loan as opposed to an agency, maybe a seven-year or 10-year fixed, you need to back up and get some help to understand the math metrics at play. And that's before you consider whether insurance premiums are rationally projected. Are they high enough? Do they consider the fact that premiums have been on their way up for the last couple years now, and I mean major increases, 2 to 3 times as much year on year in some cases. And then property taxes have gone up, and collateral to the financing, it's not just the rate that you've got to worry about if you're a syndicator and you're trying to raise capital. The LTV, the loan to value, has dropped through the floor, to where now it's very common that we see 50 to 55% LTVs, loan-to-value ratios, which means the syndicator has to raise more money. And that's tough. And it also potentially cuts some of your cash flow that you could pass out to members. I mean, obviously, it depends on other factors as well, but you know, it certainly cuts in most cases, not all cases, but it does cut the rate of return in many situations. But in any event, I'll tell you, and we've got articles on all these topics, but it's gotten, if it was hard already for the layperson to analyze these transactions, now it's not impossible, but it's certainly a higher bar in terms of what, you know, understanding the metrics of what you're looking at when it comes to the math. Let's take a look at the first article on my list. This is where on that BeAPlannerShow.com site, if you go to the resources tab up at the top and click that, you'll see a news link. Take that option, and then when you get to that page, scroll down to just past the blue headlines, and you'll see this week's articles start here. And the first article is an article about the most expensive rental markets in the U.S. Let me see. Here is that article. I've got it up. And, you know, these articles, I don't know that they have an agenda per se, but they've certainly got different perspectives. And I would suggest you could probably find another article from another source with the same headline that might have different localities involved. It's amazing at times that these folks that do these data collection efforts don't sync up in all cases. But in any event, there are no bargains to be found. This first article is, these are the most expensive rental markets. Says there are no bargains to be found when renting in 10 of America's most expensive counties. Renting a three-bedroom apartment in one of them could set you back anywhere from $8,000. This is obviously a typo. It says from $8,000 to $4,800 a month. I suspect it's from $4,800 to $8,000 a month, because this is in Collier's County, Florida. And let's see, I'm trying to think what some of the cities are in Collier's. I don't remember, but I suspect it's down somewhere in the southern part of the state. The Rental Affordability Index, as defined by the National Association of Realtors, uses a score of 100 to determine whether a family has enough money to qualify for a median home mortgage. Higher scores mean it's easier for families to qualify. And in the case of Collier's County, a three-bedroom apartment leases for $8,000 a month, and the Rental Affordability Index is 153%. That's a lot. In Collier County, the median home price is $770,000. And it's cheaper to buy than to rent, even though home prices are rising faster. So it might be cheaper to buy, but qualifying is perhaps not as easy, you know, in terms of the current lender requirements. But I tell you, I haven't looked at many markets lately where the cost of buying is cheaper than renting. In fact, we talked about this a lot here in the recent past, where there's a whole segment of renters now that are renting simply because they can rent a newer, nicer, higher set of amenities on a Class A apartment at maybe $2,000 to $2,500 a month. Not in Collier County, apparently. Versus spending over $1 million or thereabouts to buy. In any event, the median home price is $770,000. Jeez, that's a lot of money, and I'm assuming that's probably a three-bedroom. They don't say, but I'm guessing since they're comparing it to a three-bedroom apartment, it must be. Let's see, in Santa Barbara, the same rental would cost $6,950 a month with an affordability index of 131%. Here again, it's cheaper to buy than to rent. My goodness, who would have ever thought you could say that about a market like Santa Barbara? They're saying the median home price is $830,000. In affluent Marin County, California, the median home price is $1.644 million. That's where it makes it cheaper to rent at $6,000 a month. Now, those metrics are more in line with what we've seen elsewhere, where, you know, setting aside the fact that the old 1% rule no longer works when it comes to if you were going to buy a rental property, the old rule of thumb would be that you wanted to be able to rent it for at least 1%. Well, here 1% would be, $16,000 on $1.6 million, I believe, if I have that right. And, you know, this is about a third that level. So, you know, it's again, this is more normal compared to what we've seen lately. It's certainly not the flip side where it's cheaper to buy than it is to rent. In New York's Westchester County, renters can expect to shell out $5,500 a month. Still, it's cheaper to rent, even though rents are rising faster than the median home price of $809,000. The rental affordability index is 76%. At $5,450 a month, Orange County, California, rents are not far behind Westchester and are increasing quicker or faster than home prices. Still, it's less expensive to rent than it is to buy in a county where the median home price sells for $1,192,000. In any event, you can read more. Oh, you know, they cover Monterey County. I'm curious. Let me see here. Monterey has a relatively good affordability at 107%, even though tenants will still have to fork over $5,145 a month, and rents are rising faster. Renting is cheaper than buying. The median home price is $830,000 there. While the median home price among the 10 counties, it's not surprising that apartments in San Mateo, is the example they use, San Mateo County, California, are easier on the pocketbook than buying. Rents of $5,000 a month are going up faster than home prices, but the median price of a home, almost $1.8 million in San Mateo, remains a barrier to buying. It's a telling article, and it kind of runs counter to what seemingly we've been talking about each week, which is that, you know, the renter nation has in large measure occurred because of being so expensive to buy rather than to rent for the same level of amenity. And I guess that's true in some of these really, really upscale areas. But I think in a place like either Houston or Dallas even, or Phoenix, you're still better off renting in most cases than you are buying. Hey, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. Here's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like with big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I was just talking about some of the news in the commercial real estate space, specifically the ever-increasing rental rates that people are paying or purchase rates or purchase prices, depending on your facts and circumstances. But in any event, it's crazy to look at some of the numbers from around the country. I mean, we've gotten comfortable with the relatively low cost of housing in the Texas markets that, you know, we, or at least for me, it's a surprise oftentimes to see some of these numbers. Let's go, you know, I was just looking at another article. I don't have this one out on the website. I may add it before next week, but it's a Kiplinger email I just got in. It says, ask a pro, should I convert my IRA to a Roth after age 60? And I get a kick out of folks that, and there are usually professionals, like I guess the folks at Kiplinger, some level of tax professional, and it seems like they fixate on folks that aren't necessarily restricted to the common logic, the market, the stock market logic. And I'll point out that what we do, or what most of our clients do, and I personally, we invest in real estate private partnership syndications, typically involving the multifamily arena. And, you know, the beauty, when you look at it in the context of the Roth conversion, which we talk about a lot, by the way, on this show, and I would encourage you, I don't know if we'll have time today to go revisit the U.S. Debt Clock site, as I'm often prone to do. I like that site. It's a constant reminder of the fact that the tax train is coming. And if you don't understand what that means and don't want to go back and listen to assorted prior shows, which, by the way, all of our shows are on our website at beaplanner.com. We've got a podcast page out there where we put all the shows sometime a few hours, typically a few hours after we wrap each show. And but, you know, we talk about the fact that the discretionary portion of the U.S. budget is dwindling, and I mean fast, to where based on the current trends and projections, it'll be somewhere in the 2029 to 2030 range, maybe more, or maybe sooner, rather, depending on interest rates as we issue more debt. And, you know, the problem we've got is that sold a lot of T-bills at relatively low rates back in the not-too-distant past that were on short maturities, and now they've come due, or they're coming due, and of course the investors aren't going to renew for the very low rates they were, and you know, they want more interest. So again, depending on the assumption sets that you use, it's sometime over the next 5 to 7 years you're going to see the last portion of the discretionary budget that will be taken up with interest expense, and the government will no longer be able to promise it can pay 100% of the interest that'll be due on that debt, which that's a problem. Not sure how many investors are going to be willing to buy treasury bills or other government debt that doesn't have, you know, from the government when there's no assurance that they're going to get paid. That's going to be a new scenario in this country, and it's most likely going to result in, you know, the worst depression that we've ever seen in the history of the world, actually, not just the country, but the world. Let's see here. I wanted to move back to the news. Let's go with that second article. Renters take online reviews seriously. And I've got a client that reminds me of this from time to time on a property that we are both invested in. And you know, I'm not the review type myself. I don't know that I've ever reviewed even a restaurant, but I don't know. As soon as I say that, somebody will go into the Google ethosphere and find I reviewed something. I don't know. If I did, well, I've forgotten. But I've thought about it a number of times, and both on the good side and the bad side, but I don't really want to pick any fights if it's someone that might have some sharper tools in their internet toolkit than I do and understand what they're doing. But in any event, I guess it goes back to just in general, social media to me is something that most people should stay away from. It's like my mother used to say, and I'm sure many of the listeners from my era will indicate their mother used to say the same thing. It's like, you know, when you're in a discussion or in a group discussion, you either keep your mouth shut and everybody thinks you're a genius, not knowing what you really know on a topic, or you can go ahead and open your mouth, spill your guts, and then they know exactly how much or how little, as the case may be, that you know. And I think of that every time I look at some of the asinine comments that come out of the, well, the keyboards of those on assorted social media platforms. And I tell you, it's just, it's crazy. And as much as I love Donald Trump, you know, the best president we've ever had, right? I tell you what, his tweets are starting to get expensive based on the judgments that he's had. In fact, just had a $80+ million one this week that I'm not sure his first utterance that was in this particular defamation lawsuit came via the keyboard, but it probably came both via the keyboard and spoken word. But I tell you what, sometimes, as I indicated, or as my mom indicated, it's best just to keep your mouth shut. Let people wonder. But in any event, but again, that article, let's just take a quick peek here. It had a couple points I wanted to make. Let me get this one up in front of me. First of all, this involved a study by the Biennial Online Renter, or it's the 2023 Biennial Online Renter Study. I didn't go pull the study up, but I'm sure encompassed a wide range of issues when, you know, with regard to apartment living. But, you know, reviews are one of them. And it says that among those ages 18 to 34, that there were some pretty readily determinable behaviors and preferences about their apartment units. And I guess, you know, this is really important data for landlords, especially those in the higher rent strata. So, like, you know, the article we were just talking about where you had $8,000 monthly rentals in Collier County, those landlords had better pay attention because they will not always be full. And, you know, if depending on your location, depending on a number of factors, you may not be the big dog in town at some point. So you better remember that when you're at the top. And as you start, if you do start going down, hopefully people treat you with a modicum of respect, if that's how you treated them as your prices were going up. And I don't know. I think a lot of times landlords forget that their rents could always be lower, their units could always be less occupied, and they need to be careful the way they treat their tenants. And, you know, when people go to do a review, don't think they don't remember. Oh, they remember. And it may be a scenario where I remember I had an old girlfriend. Well, she wasn't old, but she was one of my prior girlfriends before I remarried. And she told me one time, she said, you know, a lady will always, she may not remember what was said when she gets her feelings hurt, but she'll definitely remember how she felt. And so I would tell you, as a landlord, I've thought of that many times when I had, well, not many times. I haven't had that many disputes with tenants, but occasionally I was always thinking, you know, what's really the issue here, and how much would it cost to resolve this to where the tenant gets a win? Because that's typically what they're going to remember. But in any event, I would tell you that the way you respond, you know, I've told every one of our tenants that move into our corporate housing units that, you know, if there's an issue with our one of our units, a battery has gone out, a light bulb has a burnout, hey, the time to contact with us is now. It's not next week. It's not tomorrow. Look, you're paying a lot of money to stay in these units that we have, and we want to know what we need to do to fix something that might break unexpectedly. You know, we've got batteries in our door locks. You know, they're non-electronic quickset locks, and you would think that if you changed batteries once a month on a routine like we do, since at times, I remember before we made it the policy to change them monthly, we might go 6 months or more before we had a battery go out. Now, when we change them monthly, we may have a battery failure in a week in a given scenario. And every time I've mentioned that to my buddy, the Home Depot manager close by, he says, boy, I sure wish there was a science to how we know when batches were made and how they were made and all the factors that could prevent that. Because he said, you know, your door lock's a good example. When a tenant can't get into their door, that's a problem, especially late at night. Although we give out our cell phone numbers, so tenants can always reach us. But in any event, reviews are important. I agree. I wish reviews on the properties that I am an investor in were better at times, but I'm counting on location being the thing that saves the day when we get down the road and we're in a position to entertain an offer to sell. Let's see, what else did I want to... Well, I tell you what, we're sitting on top right on top of when we should take the second break. Let's go ahead and do that, and we'll come back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I think we'll pivot to, we will take a look at a syndication this week. And before I do that, I wanted to explain, when we talk about real estate private partnership syndications, for those that may not be familiar with what that refers to, let me explain real quick, because this is part and parcel of understanding what we do as professionals and the role or the service that we can provide somebody that's interested in learning more and perhaps investing in these opportunities, because the potential for above average returns is significant compared to other asset classes that are out there, including the stock market, especially the stock market. So real estate private partnership syndications, I abbreviate that term with an acronym called REPS, REPPS. It involves multiple investors passively pooling their funds into a partnership under the U.S., that's United States Security Exchange Commission's crowdfunding statute. a syndicator, sponsor, lead partner, these are all interchangeable terms, serves as the manager of the partnership or limited liability company in most cases, who's responsible for choosing a property, performing the due diligence on that property to determine if it's suitable to align with the partner's desires and objectives, and arranging its acquisition, including undertaking the necessary debt placement, that's finding the loan, signing as the guarantor on the loan if need be, and they're also responsible for the equity raise. That's finding folks like you that want to invest in these transactions. So, you know, the lead partner handles all of that. And you think about it, you know, you hear people complain about real estate investing, and they're always thinking, well, you know, I used to get those phone calls from my tenants. And, you know, speaking as one who at any point in time, I know we bought and sold over 150 homes if I backed up to 2005-06 time frame for about a 4 or 5 year period over in San Antonio, and we had 40 or 50 of them in rental status at any given time. Trust me, I know what phone calls are. Even though I rarely spoke to those callers, I had a system set up where they would call, they would leave a message. I had sorted contractors that we would assign that job, whatever it might be. And, of course, it was never the tenant's fault when we would find disposable diapers flushed down the toilet and the line was blocked or clogged. Never their fault. They never did anything like that. I mean, it was a constant game, and I would call it more akin to adult daycare in many ways. That's how I have heard others assess real estate in this realm. And I would tell you that I use that term more frequently with respect to my staff than I did with the tenant. But nonetheless, they contributed to that feeling. But in any event, the manager role is also these real estate private partnerships, is also tasked with managing the ongoing operations of the partnership and its assets throughout its existence. So they're taking care of getting accounting done for the partnership, getting tax returns filed. They may also be the party working on you know, refinancing or restructuring debt when the opportunity arises. They're doing a number of things. They're wearing multiple hats in most cases. Now, they may outsource, probably if there's one thing that gets outsourced, it would be the property management, the monthly, actually hands-on, you know, taking care of new leases, tenant move-ins, move-outs, evictions, rent collections, et cetera, et cetera. And again, there's ways of being more efficient, and I'm happy if anybody is curious how we got to where we did a lot of automation on our single-family properties. I'm happy to share that with you. Just shoot me a text or email. And if you didn't have a chance to write down the information, I believe it's played on both of our breaks, you can text me at 713-581-0195. It's 713-581-0195. Or you can email me or email us at info@npross.com. That's N like November, P like Papa, O like October, S like September, S like September, npross.com. So info@npross.com. And if you'll do that, either I or one of my associates will give you an idea of how you too can set yourself up for being able to not with zero effort, but with a lot less effort, reining herd over, you know, I don't know, 30 to 50 tenants and properties at any one time. It was stifling in the early stages, and it got to be towards the end where I thought, you know, do I really want to sell these things now that we have figured it out? But we hit a point in San Antonio where the price of real estate had definitely gone way up. And this was like 2018, 5 years ago, and it's gone up double again. It's crazy. But in any event. Okay, so let's turn our attention to this 100 and, let's see, how many units is this thing? I need to get my cheat sheet here. Hang on just a second. I looked at this fairly quickly before the show started. Okay. This property is in Texas, but it's not in Houston. And I don't plan on mentioning the name. This transaction is a 506B offering under the crowdfunding statute, which means it cannot be promoted, cannot be advertised. You have to be connected to the syndicator before this transaction came out. So even if I told you where it was, you wouldn't be able to invest in it. Let's see here. I was thinking this was a bigger property than it was, but 77 units, which is a great size, I think. And I think these smaller properties, instead of the 200, 300, 400 units, or maybe even the 800 unit that I'm an investor in, I would tell you that the small units, at least in the current market, I think potentially have more profit, takes less capital, ergo it takes less syndicator fees that, you know, manage these properties. The bigger syndicators don't want to touch a 77 unit property because it doesn't have enough fluff or enough cream to pay the fees that they want to charge you, often up front. And I would tell you the idea is to minimize the dilution of your capital that goes to fees. How about we use as much of that money as possible when we acquire our next property so that the asset is working to a greater extent to earn us a profit? Conceptually. But in any event, this property was $118,000 a door for 1970-ish construction, and the loan that's being taken out on it is a fixed 5-year term. It's an agency debt. That's a positive. And what's the... the loan to value is 70 plus percent. That's, I would say, outstanding in the current market. Of course, there's probably some other variables that I missed and won't have time to track down that would explain why it was outstanding or so outstanding. There may be some personal guarantee involved there on CapEx or capital expenditures. We're seeing more of that, by the way, with the new paradigm from lenders. We're also seeing higher mortgage reserves. I don't see that mentioned, at least in the part of the documents I'm looking at. But generally speaking, that's not bad. The hold is, I'm just going to call it a 5-year hold. There's a range, but that's the high end of the 5-year hold. And let me see here what the equity multiple looks like on that. It looks like 2.16 if we go out 60 months. That's not great, 0.036 per month. We would target 0.04 6-3 is what I used to refer to as the gold standard, but those don't see that too much anymore on transactions that are led by a syndicator where they're taking out a chunk of the profit. Now, in this particular situation, the lead partner is taking a 10% override, or what we call promote. So that's not as high as many that we review. And so I guess it increases the odds that you might actually get to the equity multiple that's being projected. Cash on cash returns started about 6% a year and trends up to 7.8% at the end or by the fifth year. So in any event, and this is a critical number, when does the cash flow start being distributed? For those of you that have invested retirement accounts, which we're happy to discuss with you how you too can do that. And just to deviate momentarily, most people that we talk to are unaware that if they're married and live in the great state of Texas, that they can access their 401 funds at an employer, or you and your spouse, depending on your specific facts, can access those funds, or your spouse. And so if that appeals to you, if you want to learn how to make a lot more potentially on your investment by putting it into real estate private partnership syndications, and at the same time trying to sidestep the tax train that's coming, as I mentioned, 2029 to 30 is when the tax brackets and rates will have almost certainly had to go up. It's simple math, and we can discuss that more if you'd like, but in the interim period, go take a look at usdebtclock.org, and you can see it from somebody besides Nathan Ross just barking about it each week on the air. And if you want to learn how to sidestep that, it's called Roth conversion. We can most assuredly help you do that. And we can help you do it at a cost that pales in comparison to what it's going to cost you to do it before you get your money invested in these real estate private partnerships. Significant discounts will lower your tax cost on the valuation to calculate that Roth conversion tax. And I know that all sounds like Greek. It won't once we spend a half hour with you on an introductory phone call, should you care to learn more about that. It's absolutely something for you to consider if you're as concerned about the tax rates as we are. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show again. Always enjoy it. I wish we had more time, but we'll be back this coming Friday at 11 a.m. Central Time, right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.